Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one this evening, and I want to thank everyone for your prayers. Definitely feeling a lot better tonight, and I just thank the Lord. God is real, isn't he? God is good. And we want to turn again tonight to Samuel, to 1 Samuel, and maybe this could be the last that I'll take from 1 Samuel. Maybe we'll go into 2 Samuel after tonight, but I want to take a few scriptures from 1 Samuel chapter 30, and I won't read all these. It's quite a lengthy portion, but you can read through it, and I'm going to go through verses while I'm sharing with you tonight, and I just trust the Lord will bless us. But I want to encourage you tonight. I want to encourage you to believe God that we're going to pray and believe God to recover all. And I want to take for the text tonight from our reading for David recovered everything. David recovered all. Let's read from verse 1, and I'll read a few verses, then we'll go down till verse 26 of our reading. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. And had taken the women captives that were therein, they slew not any, either great nor small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam and the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. You remember Abigail, I preached on it a few weeks ago, how David come to get Abigail. Her husband basically was a stinker. David watched the sheep and all his cattle, and he wouldn't give him a penny, and he wouldn't give his men anything. He was nasty to them. And Abigail ran to meet David, because David was going to slew him, slew Abigail's husband, and slew all that was with him. And she went and, you know, she found favor them with David. And when she was widowed, David took her to wife. So David's second wife is a widow of a man he was going to do in. He was going to slay him, but the Lord slew him anyway. He dropped dead. We've seen that in the last service. So David, and they've wept unto the Lord, verse 4. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept, and they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. So here's a man, and they say Saul puts 1,000 to flight, and David puts 10,000 to flight, but they've now changed their mind, and they're going to stone him. This is a bit like the same response they give Moses. Moses brought them out under 10 supernatural miracles. He went in with the 2 supernatural signs, and everything about Moses from start to finish was supernatural. And they seen it, and yet with all, it turned on him as well, didn't it? That's just how it is. And the Lord Jesus said, "Let this be done in the green tree, what will be done in the dry tree," when he referred to himself, weren't they going to stone the Lord? Now let's come away down till, and you can read through all these portions, but let's come down till verse 26. Let's come to verse 26. "And when David came to Ziklag, he sent of the spoil unto the elders of Judah, even to his friends, saying, Behold, a present for you of the spoil of the enemies of the Lord, to them which were in Bethel, and to them which were in south. Let me see, am I reading the wrong verse? The verse I'm looking at is for David recovered all. It's chapter 30. Verse 19. "And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. And David took all the flocks and the herds which they drave before those other cattle, and said, This is David's spoil. And David came to the 200 men which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook Beshor. And they went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. Then answered all the wicked men and the men of Belial of those that went with David, and said, Because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, save to every man his wife and children, that they may lead them away and depart. Then said David, Ye shall not do so, my brethren, with which the Lord hath given us, who have preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hands. For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall have part alike." So the people that went with the battle got their part, and the people that stayed and watched the stuff got the part because they were too faint to go. It's a bit like the Lord said, the ones that's coming in the last getting the same money, and the ones that's labored all night, as it were. The last hour workers will get the same wages. Let's come and bow our head tonight, and if you have a request, just lift your hand up before the Lord. Praise God, praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you tonight for your mercy, for your grace. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you recovered all for us at a place called Calvary. Lord, you ransomed us. That means you redeemed us. And you brought us back out of the hand of the enemy. And Lord, tonight we're yours. We're yours because we've took your name. And we can cry, Abba, Father, tonight. Father, we call on your name this evening. The name that you have set far above every name. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We come against every work of the devil. We come against every spirit that's contrary to the Holy Spirit. We rebuke it. And we pray that every spirit will be subject to the Holy Spirit. We pray that the works of the devil will come to naught. That you'll bind a strong man and spoil his goods in our lives and in our homes. And in our fellowship in Jesus Christ's name. Touch every man and every woman. Every boy and every girl in this house and those that's listening in, touch them and minister to them. Do them good, Lord. The hands raised. You know the needs, Lord Jesus. Minister, we pray by your power and your grace in Jesus Christ's name. Father, I do take the Holy Ghost to help me right now. And I thank you that you will. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. The Lord bless you this evening. Praise God. You see, David, and you can read through this, but you know David had the lance for the Philistines, and it really brought him into the trouble. And you know, any of us can get the wrong connections in life, and it can bring us into trouble. And the Bible tells us, and the Bible warns us, what fruit, what fellowship of light or darkness? None. And God warns us. And David, you know, David made mistakes. But there's one thing about David, which we read here in these opening verses. He wept and he called unto the Lord. And I tell you, even if we make a mistake, we can weep and we can come unto the Lord. And the Lord will hear us and answer us. Now, I want you to see, first of all, in verse 3 and 5, and we're going to go through these verses briefly this evening. This was a crushing disappointment for David. David was disappointed. David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. While seeking to help the ungodlies, you know, and seeking to help other people of their losses, he came up with a loss of his own. And I tell you, you know, it's so true. We can be so busy that we're wanting to do something when the very thing we should be doing, we forget about it. I'm going to say that again. Now, that I really mean this. We're so busy thinking we're doing something that's important that's not important, when the very thing we should be doing that is important, we don't do it. And we can get in trouble sometimes. But thank the Lord we can call on him and get out of it. This is the old story in another form of the prodigal son in the faraway country in Luke's gospel. And he got away from the blessing and he got away from the father's house. But the thing was about it, he came to himself. And even when he was not conditioned, and I'm not saying David was not conditioned, but I'm just using it as an example, but he came to himself. And when he came to himself, he headed back to his father's house with a thought, even of a servant, it's better than where I am now. And little did he know that the father seen him coming. And the father seen him afar off, and the father said, cook the best calf, get the best robe, get the best ring for his finger. So much so that his other brother wasn't too happy about it. And then that's the Lord's telling us through his word tonight. It doesn't matter how far somebody's been away. It doesn't matter how far somebody's been down, or how much they think they've disappointed or failed the Lord. As soon as we come to our senses, and as soon as we head north, let me put it that way. If we'll head north, if we'll seek for the Lord, I'll tell you, the Lord's already coming towards us with a blessing. Amen. And you know, for the backslider, the Bible said he's forever married to the backslider. God doesn't throw the backslider off and forget about the backslider, but the Lord's ever married to the backslider. Aren't you glad for that this evening? The Lord's married to the backslider. Here we see in verse 6 as well, they lifted up their voice and wept, and David was greatly distressed. You see, in the attempt to watch the vineyard of others, David failed to keep his own. And I tell you, we need to be careful that we keep what God's given us and not worry about someone else. We can be chasing something and forget about what the Lord's given us. And I tell you, we need to come to the place for God's called us to come. And you know, I'm going to tell you, and the Lord's really showed me this, I believe. There's certain places for God will bless. And there's a certain choosing that God chooses. And that's the way God will do it, and it'll not happen outside of that, and I believe that. And you know, even during the 1869 revival in this country, there was places God never moved, and there's other places God did move. And that's just down to God. That's his choosing. But here, David, you see, the enemy's fire's often needed to waken us up, isn't it? And David had a bit of fire here, the fire of the enemy. That's what David had. But you see, the fire of the enemy wakened David up to where David called on the Lord, and to where David got even greater fire. And I tell you, sometimes things can happen us to give us a wee shake up, a wee waking up. Like a brother preached the other week, awake, not woke, but awake. And the Lord wants us to be awakened up. And David here become awakened up. And David, when he was awakened up, he knelt and he prayed and he wept to the Lord. And things began to change. Now here's another thing in verse 68 also. This is a work of faith here. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. And sometimes, you know, When you're wanting a word and it doesn't seem to come, and you're wanting an encouragement and it doesn't seem to come, and especially if you're a preacher or a servant of God and it doesn't seem to come. But here David encouraged himself in the Lord. Now what you understand, the people's ready to stone him. There's nobody giving David a bouquet of flowers. There's nobody patting David on the back and telling him of how he slew Goliath. They've long forgot about that. They've long forgot about the great things God used David to do. They've long forgot about how Samuel anointed him. They've long forgot about nobody's encouraging David, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. And I want to tell you this evening, sometimes we need to encourage ourselves in the Lord, don't we? Praise God. And his sons and his wives and his cattle, his house is all gone. And they're speaking of stoning him now. And he comes to himself, he turns to the Lord and unto a friend in a time of need. For who in such circumstances could encourage himself in a stranger? It's a friend you need, isn't it? And I tell you tonight, we don't need a stranger tonight. We need a friend. And we have a friend tonight that we can turn to. And that is the lovely person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one we can turn to tonight. And he says, I am a friend that sticks closer than your own brother. And we can turn to him. And we can call upon him and he can change things. The spirit of again, the spirit of faith moved in David here. David's encouraged himself, the Lord. And David sits on this faith, this throne in his heart. It's risen up. Faith's risen him. Something's risen within him. Do you ever feel you were done for? And then maybe you got praying for, or maybe you encourage yourself in the Lord, and just inside you, someone comes up in you. That's the Holy Ghost. The Bible talks about a living water in you, coming up in you. And I tell you, this was coming up in David, and there's something was happening. And the enemy was going to know about it. I'm going to tell you that. Because David was always the Lord's anointed. And you know, when he faced Goliath, and he at once was another man, wasn't he? God changed him into another man, didn't he? You know, when the Spirit of God comes in a man, he's changed into another man. We saw that, really, when we read about Saul, didn't we? Now, having remembered the Lord and the God during his affliction, he rises up like a giant, refreshed with a new wine. And you know, there's a wine of stimulation. Amen. God can give us revelation from this word, real revelation. And real revelation stimulates you. It stimulates you to go forward. It stimulates you to do something. Isaiah 56, 3 to 4 says this. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. And God, I will praise his word. And God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. In verse 8 it says, David inquired of the Lord. In 1 Samuel 30, verse 8, inquired of the Lord. We cannot encourage ourselves much on him unless we're prepared, excuse me, to submit to him. We have to submit to him. Here's another thing in verse 8 as well. David had an assuring promise. He had an assuring promise. Now we have an assuring promise tonight. The Lord himself has given us a mighty promise. For the Lord himself has said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. And I tell you, when the enemy tells you the Lord's left you, he's a liar. The Lord says, I'll never leave you and never forsake you. Verse 8 of 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 8. Pursue, for thou shalt without fail recover all. I tell you, this is a mighty word has come to David from the Lord. And the Lord is saying to David, pursue, for thou shalt recover all. So David went through the disappointment. He maybe for the help of others, he went through the disappointment. He went through the backlash, so the people's ready to stone him. But the faith has risen in his heart again. He's prayed a mighty prayer, and he's wept, and he's been sincere. It's been a real sincere prayer that David's prayed. And God wants them sincere prayers. You know, Jack Cole used to talk about lay my head to sleep prayers. And he said, them's not prayers. Bless me, lay my head to sleep prayers. He says, I'm talking about real prayers. And you know, when Jack Cole was in the army and he got leave to come home because his sister was dying, and he got into the taxi. And he coming along the road and he started praying, and the taxi man stopped. The taxi man said to him, "Are you all right back there?" And he said, "I'm." And he says, "I'm just praying." And he says, "Well, I'll tell you what, I've been going to church for years and I never heard nobody praying like that." You see, that's what's missing in church today. The Bible says the kingdom of God suffer violence, and the violence taketh it by force. We need to pray powerful prayers. Big Paisley used to pray, you know, real strange prayers. Did you know that? If you've ever heard the interview of Paisley and William Mullen, on the time Paisley was in jail, and Willie Mullen's telling the story, and Willie Mullen says, he gives Ian Paisley a nudge, and he says, "Ian, we better make a bit of an example here, you know, to ministers and all, in front of these prison wardens." And Ian says, "You're right, brother." And the prison warden was a wee small man, wee squirt of a critter. And Big Paisley started praying, and he says, "Lord, ask for this wart of a warden. Save him." That's how he started praying. He called him a wart of a warden. Save him. Now you could say to yourself, how would God move with prayer like that? But he did. That's the thing about it. He prayed strange prayers. That's a strange prayer, isn't it? It was a strange prayer when W.P. Nickerson laid hands on a young Ian Paisley. And he said, "Lord, give him a tongue like an old cow, rough." So he answered it. That's what he had. But praise God, strange prayer. David here has been given the word from the Lord, recover all. This precious word of the Lord's sets every fear at rest, doesn't it? When the Lord speaks to you, the fears go. Amen. When the Lord speaks to you. I'm talking about the Lord really speaking to you. Although as yet there's no change in the calamitous circumstances that he finds himself in, he's got something in his heart that he knows is done. Do you ever have that? Even before you see it happening, you're convinced that God's heard you and God's going to do it. All will be well, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. It is no vain thing in the day of distress to encourage yourself in the Lord. That's what every one of us need to do. Be of good courage. The Bible says, for the Lord will strengthen your heart. Look at verse 11 to 16 here with me as well. Here's a providential help, because they found an Egyptian in the field. And I'm calling it a providential help because, you see, this man had fallen successless from the camp of the enemy now. These are the people that took David's wives away. But there's a man that was with him and he fell sick. And because he fell sick, he remained. And he was almost dead. He was faint. He hadn't eaten or drank for 3 days. And you can read through here. They bring him the clusters of grapes and they give him water and everything. And David gets him and he recovers. He recovers when he gets the food and the drink. And the Lord has smitten him, I believe, specially, that he'll be there to talk to David. And David asks him, where did they go with his wives and with the people and all? And this man says, if you don't kill me, if you promise me you'll spare me, I'll tell you. So you see how God and God's mighty providence made a way. And here's a man sick, but yet God used it because he's keeping him there where he is. He doesn't want him to move. Amen. I tell you, God can do that, you know. God can keep you where you are, even if you might want to be there. I tell you, you know, Brother Gary mentioned it, and I'd read about it myself, you know. For Ian Paisley went to see 2 men, one man in hospital. I can't remember the man's name, but he went to see this man, certain name in the hospital, and pray for him. The family asked him to go. And when he got to see him, he was sleeping. And they said, "Well, awaken him." And he said, "No, let him sleep on." And the other fellow, he was awakened. He had the same name. And he prayed with him and he came to the Lord. But the other boy had no interest in the things of God. Now, I might be just telling you exactly right. But I'm telling you, the man he went to see wasn't the man he seen. But the man he actually seen, he had no plans to go and see him, but he had the same name. But the Lord had plans for him. And he got saved. But the other body he was meant to see never got saved. Now how can you work that out? That has to be God. Praise God. Where now were the invading Amalekites? That's the questions they're asking them. This man, the sick, this young man, and who will guide them to the place of meeting where God wants them? This poor, unfortunate youth here, he's sick, who had dropped from the ranks of Amalekite because of his sickness and was left, you know, by his, they didn't take him with them. Sure they didn't. They were heartless. They went on without him. And here he's left. And here David comes on him. But, you know, in our weakness, sometimes God's made strong. God had a purpose for this. Let me read you 1 Corinthians 27, verse 27 and 28. But God have chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And God have chosen the weak things of this world to confound the mighty. And the base things of this world, and the things which are despised, have God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. And you see this little episode, by the way, it's the Lord's work. It's the Lord's working with this man here. And that's how God works. Look at Elijah, and God used an unclean bird to feed him. And here's a man of the Amalekites, and he's dropped out sick, he's ready to die, and he's faint, but they bring him a cluster of grapes and the different stuff. You can read it here through the scriptures. And they revive him, and they find out where the enemy is, and they follow after them. Praise God. Look at verse 11 and 12. Furthermore, of the case of the kingdom, having slain the enemy by the power of his kindness. And I'll tell you, the Lord slain the enemy for us, didn't he? Now we're going to go up to verse 16 to 20, and you can read it. I've read a bit of it at the start, and I'm almost finished. And this here is a complete victory for David. A complete victory. It's not a half victory. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon this young fellow, brings him down. They're spread upon the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight evening, from the twilight even on to the evening of the next day. And there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all the Amalekites, all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives, and there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that had taken to them. David recovered all. And David took all the flocks and the herds which they had driven before those other cattle, and said, this is David's spoil. So I'll tell you, the Lord gives him everything, and he recovers all. It's a bit near like the story of Job. Job lost everything, but God gave him back double. And he gave him more than he had before. Praise God. Who else could have done it? Only the Lord. But he'd yielded himself to God and to the purpose of God, and he had the promise of God and in the name. And he proved his faithfulness to the word of God, didn't he? And this here is a real prefiguring of he who was the greater David, isn't it? It's a prefiguring of it, if you like, tonight, who encouraged himself on God and came forth to recover all that was lost through the sinful failure of the first Adam. And this greater David that I'm speaking about, or the prefigure tonight, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And all was lost in the first Adam, but the second man, the Lord from heaven, came, the greater David, and he recovered all. Amen. You know, when the scripture said it greater than Solomon's here, we could say it greater than David's here. And David was great. David was a mighty man of God and is anointed of God. But the Lord Jesus Christ was anointed, and he didn't receive the Spirit by measure, and he recovered all. And not only did he recover all, but the Bible says he went about doing good and healing all that were sick and oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And just as David recovered all, the Lord Jesus has recovered all. And through the redemptive work on the cross, we can claim our healing and salvation tonight, because our greater David had recovered all. Now let me just take this last thought, and then I'm going to close, and we're going to have time to pray. This is a gracious offer. Verse 26, behold, a present for you. The word present, the word present is rendered blessing in the margin. Now you can read it and we're reading here in verse 26. And when David came to Ziklag, he sent a spoil unto the elders of Judah, even his friends, saying, behold, a present for you of the spoil of the enemies of the Lord. So David was able to send a present from the spoils that the Lord had given him. The Lord had so blessed him. Amen. Because he recovered all. And now he offers a blessing to his friends. And I tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ can bless us. And he can bless us far above what we can think or even ask. Amen. God can bless us. He can save us, he can heal us, and he can bless us. And we see it here in David. Now in verse 24, and I briefly mentioned it, those who were not able to go down to the battle, but who faithfully tarried by the stuff, shall in no ways lose their reward. So even the men that were faint, now understand, these men had come with them so far, but they were faint. And many times you could come so far and you feel faint and you maybe feel there's nothing happening, but you're still going to get a reward if you hold on. And these men, there was a reward for them. And it wasn't a lesser reward, it was the same reward. And I tell you, we're gleaning. We know that it's the clock's ready to strike, and we're gleaning. We're going round the back of the hedges, as it were. We're gleaning at the end time. Scripturally, that's where we're positioned. And many depart from the faith, but there's those that remain faithful. And the Lord's going to bless. For the ones that come in the last hour receive the same wages that the ones that worked all day. Amen. He who have redeemed, bought back the lost inheritance, has alone the right to give such gifts to others. Ephesians 1 verse 7. In whom redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Praise God. He shall divide the spoil of his unsearchable riches with a strong faith. Let me read you this, then I'm going to close. Isaiah 53 and 12. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Did we not see that in David? Can you see the Lord Jesus in David? Because he had poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and he made intercession for them. And David did all this, but our greater David did it for us, the Lord Jesus Christ. And just as David, maybe he was with those that he shouldn't have been with, they would say, and sure didn't they say the Lord? Look at the Lord. Look, did you say he's a drunkard, they called him, a wine bibber. They said he's with the publicans and the sinners. And you know the wee man that climbed the tree, Zacchaeus. And he said, he brought him to his house and he said, look, there you are. They condemned him. Absolutely condemned him. What do you think they thought of him when he says, I must needs go through Samaria? And there was the woman. There's nobody else was interested in that woman going through there, but the Lord Jesus was. What did they say about him after that? I guarantee you they talked about him. But I tell you, you see, our own reputation is nothing. It's the Lord's work. Let's come and pray tonight, and let's seek the Lord this evening. And let us, David recovered all. We can take a word from this. We can believe for sons, for daughters, for all the unsaved and their families, that we can see them come to the Lord and recovered. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you tonight that we can see Christ when we look at David. All the things of his life that he went through to recover all. And we thank you, Lord, that all that was lost in the first Adam was restored. For its sin did abound, grace did much more abound. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But Christ Jesus died for the ungodly. But thank you tonight you died for the ungodly. We thank you that you took our place. You stood in our room in our stead. And you went the whole way to Calvary. And you suffered and died alone. We thank you for every wound that you took. The stripes on your back. The bruises on your face. Plucking of your beard. The thorns on your brow. The spear in your side. Was for our salvation and our healing. We thank you for tonight, Lord Jesus. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. Pray, Lord, for everyone in this house tonight with unsaved families. Father, will you recover every one of them? We pray. Recover them. Like it says in the book of Acts, ye and your house shall be saved. Lord, we want to see our whole house saved. Saved and baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, grant it this evening, I pray. Grant your blessing in each one in this house. Bless them. Lord, maybe people can through things that nobody knows nothing about. But Lord, we've seen the recipe tonight. When things go wrong, if we'll humble ourselves down and get on our knees and call on a friend, the real friend that sticks closer than a brother, things will change. And you'll give us a victory and recovery of all. Lord, we bless your name this evening. Bless your people now. And bless your word and those that would hear it. In the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's continue just to seek the Lord.